history, God's plan of redemption, right? And in it, in the back of that book, it has all the different colored charts of the three circles. So if you want to know where we get the three circles, that's, we got it from this sister. Brother Watchman Nee picked it up. Brother Jesse Penn Lewis picked it up from her. And also Brother Lee, of course. So we owe a lot to that sister in that publication, God's Plan of Redemption. And she wrote this song. We included that in our hymn book. Okay, praise the Lord. This morning, why don't we open the Word to some verses out of Colossians chapter 3. We have a shorter time, so we're going to have to move fairly quickly this morning through the outline. So it may not be a local train this morning. It may be we have to take an express. So. Okay, Colossians chapter 3, and we'll read verses 1 through 4, okay, all together. Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4. Everyone, go. If, therefore, you were raised together with Christ, seek the things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Thine on the things which are above, not on the things which are on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, our life, is manifested, then you also will be manifested with Him in glory. This morning we will go into Colossians chapter 3. Of course, in the last few messages, we've spent a lot of time in Colossians chapter 1 and 2. That is Revelation. Paul, in composing this epistle, he spends the first couple chapters unveiling an all-inclusive, right? An all-extensive, preeminent Christ who is so rich, so high, so profound to, right, rescue those distracted Colossians from asceticism, mysticism, Gnosticism, all the isms, right? So he does a good job. Then in chapters 3 and 4, Paul gets a little bit more practical, and he writes to the Colossians as far as giving them a practical way. How can we enjoy and experience and partake of this superbly rich Christ? So this is what we will touch this morning. If you look at the training schedule that we have, in this session, it's the session on more or less the our daily life, our living, our union with Christ that we have. So we're learning. Hallelujah. We're learning to turn to our spirit. So I like this word, learning to live in union with Christ. So on Tuesday we saw, right, we have to learn. Hallelujah. So good. As college students, right, we all have to learn. I'm learning. You're learning. Don't think when you get a little bit older that you stop learning. No, we have to keep learning. You know, I'm taking a couple classes at two universities, you know. One at the University of Connecticut in Storrs, and I'm taking another class at the Central Connecticut State University in New Britain, Connecticut. Because I'm learning. I'm trying to stay young. So I'm learning here, right? That gives me student status, if you want to know the motive. So we have to learn to live in union with Christ. At this age, we should learn, right? We're junior high school, college. Our whole life, Satan, is a learning process. So we saw from the brother sharing that we have to learn to know the peace of Christ. You have to know the sense of life, the sense of death, the sense of peace. You have to know those kind of senses within your spirit that will help you stay in union with Christ. Then we saw, but yesterday, right, another way to live in union with Christ is to do what? Is to receive the Word of Christ. So what did Paul say? Let the Word of Christ what? Dwell. Not just be in you, but dwell in you. Make home in you. Right, occupy every part of your inward being. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you poorly. Right? Oh, let the Word of Christ dwell in you semi-richly. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. okay. And this morning, we have to learn, right, and keep learning, learning to set our mind, you know, this most troublesome part of our being, right? What organ gives you the most problems? Right, your mind, right, just like me. And the older you get, the more problems it gives you. So we have to learn to set our mind, right, on the things which are above, not on the things which are what? On the earth, okay? So I want to emphasize just briefly this word learning. You know, when I was in London a couple years ago, I go to London maybe once or twice a year, FTTL. But one time we were there, we wanted to visit this elderly brother, Angus Kinnear. You know, Brother Angus Kinnear wrote a book about Brother Watchman Nee. And we wanted to visit him because he was aging. Angus Kinnear was a medical missionary to India. But in 1938, when Brother Watchman Nee came to England for the second time, Brother Nee went to the UK in 1933, August. The second time in 1938, Brother Angus Kinnear got like two or three or maybe 5 or 6 weeks with Brother Watchman Nee. Because, you know, Angus is related to, you know, to T. Austin Sparks. And Brother Nee had heard about the ministry of T. Austin Sparks. So Angus married, there was a relationship, you know, a married relationship between Sparks and Angus Kinnear. So we were able to get 5 hours with Angus and at his house, and then later for lunch. And he mentioned one thing to us about his 5 weeks with Watchman Nee that he could never forget. And he said he could never forget. Brother Watchman Nee used this word L. And Brother Watchman Nee was very impressed with the British drivers. When the British drivers would learn how to drive, you have to have an L on your license plate on the back of your car. So all the cars behind you, like, you know, kind of hesitate to, you know, like get too close to that car, you know, because there's an L on there. L means learner. So Brother Nee really was speaking to Brother Angus and said, you know, Angus, you have to realize the Christian life is a life of learning. And he said every believer in Christ should wear some kind of one of these things that says big L sign on him, on the front or on the back, an L sign. That means you're learning. You never stop learning. We should all have a big L on us, right? Learner. We're learning to what? To know Christ, to stay in union with Him, right? By knowing the peace of Christ, letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And again, this morning, we're learning how to what? Set our mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. Okay, so I like this. So Brother Angus went away, never forgetting Brother Watchman's word about an L, a learner, right, on your license plate. Okay, let's look at the outline, because we have to go through it fairly quickly. Let's all read Romans 1 together, okay? Since we died and were raised together with Christ, we are in ascension with Christ in God. Where are you this morning? You're not at Wright State University? Well, apparently we're in Wright State. But actually, according to the divine revelation, we are what? We're in ascension. Right? We're in ascension in the heavenlies with Christ. Right? In God. Okay. Sisters, read A. B. Life has been hidden with Christ in God. Read 1. Right. So don't set your mind on the things on the earth. And we'll get into that briefly. Okay. how can we be in ascension, right? Well, we have to know the full ministry of Christ, right? That the brother Benjamin talked about last night, right? In the stage of incarnation, what did he do? He brought the what? He brought the infinite God into the finite man. And then what did he do? He united and mingled the triune God with the tripartite man. Then in his humanity, what did he do? He expressed the bountiful God, expressed in his humanity the bountiful God in his rich attributes through his aromatic virtues. That's the life of Christ on the earth. Then at the end of his life, what did he do? He accomplished an all-inclusive judicial redemption. That's the stage of incarnation. That's what he did. But remember, when he put us in himself, so whatever he went through, we went through. Then, through his death and in his resurrection, he became what? The all-inclusive what? Life-giving spirit, right? And he became what? God's firstborn son. He was the only begotten son with divinity. And then through death and resurrection, he brought that part, his human part, that had nothing to do with the Son of God, into the sonship of the only begotten Son, making him the firstborn son among many brothers with both divinity and humanity. Wow, what a Christ in resurrection. Then, in doing so, he what? As the Spirit, now he can regenerate us. So he regenerated, right, his believers as his organic body, as his body, producing the body of Christ. Then we know he was on the earth for 40 days. Then on the 40th day, he what? He ascended, right, to the third heavens, right? In all those processes, saints, he did what? He brought us with him, right? So when he put us upon himself, right, we were what? We were crucified with him. You know, just like if I put this piece of paper, right, in this book, right, that's us in him, whatever happens to the book happens to what? To this piece of paper, right? If I put the book over here, I put the paper there. If I put this book into the fire, where does the paper go? Into the fire. Whatever I do to this book, because we are in this, because the paper is in the book, whatever it happens to this book happens to the paper. So hallelujah, right? He put us upon himself, so whatever happened to him happened to us, right? His history is our history. So we were what? We were co-crucified with him, right? What else? Then we were co-raised with him. When he was crucified, we were crucified. Okay, it's not by you. Don't try to feel that. Right? It's a divine fact. It's a divine reality. When he was crucified, we were crucified. You just, amen. The reality is in our spirit, right? When he was raised, we were raised. We were co-raised with him. When he ascended, we ascended with him. Right? And he brought us to the third heavens. So his experience becomes ours. So that's why we can say we are right with him in the third heavens, right? This is the divine fact. But this divine fact must become our experience day by day, living Christ, living in union with Christ, okay? So we have to cooperate with that divine fact by making that fact real in our daily experience, and that takes a lifetime. Don't think we can get the whole thing in one college training in Fairborn, Ohio. No, there's a lifetime of what? Setting our mind on the things above. Right? Okay. Did we read A2? Okay, let's read it. If we believe in Christ's ascension and continually set our minds on the things above rather than the things on earth, we will not only be in the heavenlies objectively, but we will also be in the heavenlies subjectively. Where are you this morning? In the heaven. heavenlies, not only objectively, subjectively. That's the problem. I can say, hallelujah, I'm in the heavenlies. And then the brother wants to take the shower before you and said, no, I'm for, no, yeah. You descended quickly. It was a descension. It could have been not to the earth, it could have been to the lower parts. You went all the way down, right? So we need in our daily experience to learn every day, all the time, personally, corporately, church meetings, at school, studying, everything. What? To always, right, live in union with Christ by setting our mind on the things above. Okay, B tells us because we have died, resurrected. Hallelujah. Have you died?
Amen.
That's such a strong amen. Have you died?
Amen.
Okay, that's better. We have died, and what? Have you resurrected?
Amen.
Good, right? Have you ascended?
Amen.
Good. Okay, with Christ, not in yourself, right? Sin, because of this, right, we ought to seek the things, what, which are above, and what? Yearly, set our mind, right? Okay, monthly. Weekly. Daily.
Amen.
How about moment by moment?
Amen.
24/7.
Amen.
Right? Seek the things which are above and daily set our mind on the things which are above. Okay? And of course you have the verses Ephesians 2 and Romans 6. Okay, C tells us we should no longer be concerned for the things on the earth. What are we mainly concerned with all the time? The things on the earth. Paul, right, is a marvelous composer, writer. He's telling those Colossian saints, those things that the Judaizers want to bring you back into, Judaism, all those things, those are things are what? Earthly things. The Gnostics that want to bring you into Greek Gnosticism, they are what? Earthly things. Low things. Inferior things. Not that high at all. Low things. Even satanic things. Natural things. Asceticism. Trying to be good. Scarring your body. Trying to deal with the lust of your flesh. And not eating and doing this. And buffeting your body and doing all these things. What are those things? Those are earthly things. Low things. Mean things. Inferior things. Don't set your mind on those things. Asceticism, mysticism, Gnosticism. You know, the Gnostics, their philosophy was what? All matter is what? Is evil. So anything physical is evil. So you need to deal, with those physical things because they're no good. They're terrible, right? And so they expanded that and said, so Christ could never be embodied as God embodied in the flesh, because if he embodies himself in the flesh, that's evil. Christ could never do that. Christ is not like that. That was their heresy. Of course, centuries ago, it was called the Arian heresy from Arius, the heresiarch or the chief heretic, right? So they said, so Paul, what, combats that, and he says, in him, Christ, what, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, what? Bodily. He annihilated that heresy. This very Christ, although he put on flesh, right? He was in the likeness of the flesh of sin. He was involved with the old creation. Related, his flesh was related to the old creation, but without the nature of Satan and the old creation. So he took that part, right? That part, right, that he put on that had nothing to do with the Son of God, and he what? He sanctified that part, he transformed that part, he uplifted that part, and he brought that part into the sonship of the only begotten Son of God, divinizing his human part, right? He didn't need to redeem that part, right? Because whatever God creates, he uses. But the satanic part from the fall that was not part of God's original creation, So God has to terminate that. He has to judge it. He has to put that to an end. And he did that. And then the God-created part, the humanity, he redeemed that fallen. He terminated our fallen part and redeemed that, right? And transformed it and brought it into his sonship, okay? As the only begotten Son of God. So now, by terminating the fallen humanity, and right, he was designated the Son of God. He entered into us, into our spirit, and he's designating us the same way to make us those many sons of God. So this is Christ. He's very, very rich. Okay, C tells us that we should no longer be concerned for the things on the earth, turning our attention to the things in heaven. God in the heavens should be the sphere of our living. We need to forget, one, we need to forget the earthly things, the world, right? The world, is it that high? Is the world high? Is it exalted? Is it the things above, superior, rich, high, lofty? No, it's not. So we don't get any benefit by setting our mind on those kind of things. And what we'll share just later, why is there a benefit by setting our minds on things above? We'll get into that, okay? So we need to forget the earthly things, the world, right? Educational world, right? Even though you have to gain a good education, you have to be careful, you know, that what is taught to you in the classes does not enter into you and affect you. So even when you're in class listening to those professors, you need to guard your spirit. Students, you have to take care of your spirit and exercise your spirit. When something is said, something defiling, you have to exercise. In some classes, I've had to walk out of the class because in one class at UCLA, and this is in grad school at UCLA in an educational program, the instructor was using four-letter words all the time. I went to one class the whole semester. So sometimes you have to be exercise, even to walk out. You have to be very, very exercised when all of these defiling things come. Sometimes you have to do something radical, right, to avoid defilement. Anyhow, we have to be exercised all the time, especially in our classes, right? Okay, we should no longer be concerned for the things on the earth, right? Turning our attention to the things in heaven. God in the heavens should be the sphere of our living. One, we need to forget the earthly things, the world, culture, religion, philosophy, and the natural human virtues. Paul was dealing with those things with the Colossian saints. All those things came into the church in Colossae. So Paul is telling them, making it clear, those are not the things above. Those are inferior things, low things, mean things, defiling things. Those things will never help you, right, to enjoy the all-inclusive Christ, to build up the organic body of Christ. We need to lift up our eyes to the heavens. Of course, that doesn't mean just physically. Of course, in the ancient times, of course, we don't have a white marker board here, but in the ancient times, they need to look up, right? You know, we have our English word sidereal, right? I don't know if you know the English word sidereal, which means pertaining to the stars, right? Heavenly, sidereal. Okay, you English majors, right? Okay. S-I-D in Latin is the root of meaning starry or heavenly. Of course, we have our word stellar. Stellar is another Latin word. But the English word we derive from that mainly is consider. Con, C-O-N, sitter, the stars. So they used to, you know, of course, I don't know anything about astronomy. But I guess they used to consider, you know, look up at the stars and consider something. Well, in a sense, we need to consider the things above. This all-inclusive Christ, this all-extensive Christ,
This was this preeminent one. He's the firstborn of what? Of all creation. He's the firstborn from the dead. He's the one that has the first place preeminence in all things. We need to consider this one. Sometimes you just need to, when you read the word, muse. Right? Don't amuse. A, of course, in Greek means not or without. So sometimes we should be musing. But many times we are what? Amusing. Right. A, muse means not musing. We should be musing, considering what a Christ, what a heavenly Christ, what a rich Christ, what a transcendent Christ we have. We need to muse on Him, saints. In other words, ponder. The Latin word means, you know, P-O-N in Latin means to, is weight. So you need to consider the weight of the Christ that we enjoy. You need to muse, ponder, consider, right? Enjoy, exercise your spirit, and consider this one, right, who is everything to us. Okay? Whenever we are in the flesh, right, we are dead in our offenses and sins, living an earthly life. 3, whenever we are in the Spirit, we are what? We are raised up. Hallelujah. We are raised up and have the sense that we are in God and are living in God. I tell you, a very, very practical way to set your mind. See, well, number one, Paul talks about what? Seek the things which are above. So number one, we need, Lord, give me a seeking heart. Like Colossians. Aren't you getting a seeking heart to know Colossians? And in my background, Colossians, what that? I like John 3:16. But Colossians, I think we're getting an appreciation more of this wonderful book of Colossians, right? So we need to seek the things which are above, to know this Christ in the book of Colossians. Enjoy Him, experience Him, touch Him. And where is He? He is in our spirit. So the most practical way to seek the things which are above, and then Paul says, set your mind on the things which are above. Number one, it starts with seeking. If we don't ask the Lord for a seeking heart, it's hard to set our mind to follow practically. So in this training, trainees, I hope that we would start out by saying, Lord Jesus, give me a seeking heart. I want to seek the things which are above, the heavenly, superior, rich, high, deep, transcendent things of Christ and all of His excellencies. I want a heart to know You. Lord, I want, even as a young college student, I want to seek You early, right? To seek You and the things which are above. Then what follows after that is what? Then practically you learn. Again, remember the L? You need to learn. Lord, teach me. I want to learn every day how to what? How to set my mind on the things above. Because our mind is our biggest problem. The mind needs to be renewed. When the mind is renewed, the emotions and the will, they what? They just line up, right? They line up. Cue up, as the British say, right? So we set our mind, right, on the things above. Then the emotions follow. The will follows. Our entire inward being then is able to receive and absorb the riches of Christ, right, when our mind is properly connected to the Spirit. That's why Paul, you know, in Romans chapter 8, he says what? The mind, what? Set where? On the Spirit is what? Is life. It's not just living, it is life, because the life element enters into your spirit and not only makes you living and vivacious and buoyant and, right, effervescent and all those adjectives, but it makes your spirit life itself. And what? Why does Paul add another word? He says life and peace, because this thing is troublesome, right? This morning, what troubled you the most this morning? Your mind. Oh, Dave Olson, he's going to call me. He's going to embarrass me in front of all those trainees. Oh, how can I escape? This troublesome mind. That brother, he looked at me like that. Why did he look at me like that? I don't like him. I like this brother. I was in Africa with him. He never gives me a hard time. So, this mind needs so much renewing. That's why Paul, when he wrote to the Romans, the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. When he comes to the Colossians, set your mind on the things which are above. Right? The Christ that he unveiled to them, right, in the first two chapters. I tell you, those are the things above. Oh, my goodness. We have to memorize those things. Even when we memorize them, we say, what is that? It's hard. Firstborn of all creation. You know, when Benjamin was fellowshipping last night, you know, I thought when he was sharing about that, this book you should all read called Concerning the Person of Christ. Brother Watchman Nee, in 1934, in the Third Overcomer Conference in Shanghai, of course, a little bit before our time, is 1934. He gave about a 3 or 4 page exposition of what firstborn means. Right? He gets into the Greek, prototokos. Hey, you have to get this booklet. It's a wonderful booklet about the two natures. You know, Benjamin talked about the two natures of Christ, divine and human, divinity and humanity. He really gets into the firstborn of all creation. What does it mean, right, to be the firstborn? You should all try to get this book, okay? Concerning the Person of Christ. Okay. Only when we hold the head, right, by abiding in the Spirit, again, it's a matter of exercising your spirit, right, do we have the experience of being dead to the elements of the world, right? We sing that song, right, you know, by that sister. I am dead to the world, Lord. And what? And the world is dead to me. Okay? Only when we hold the head, by abiding in the Spirit, do we have the experience of being dead to the elements of the world and of being raised to live with Christ in God. Okay, Romans 2. The things that are above. Okay, here he enumerates a little bit here in the outline. What are the things that are above? Are what? The ascended Christ, right? We went through that. Incarnation, human living, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. Far above all. Christ is far above all. The things that are above, on one hand, they are found in the first two chapters of Colossians. On the other hand, they are found in the other Paul's epistles, like Hebrews, like the book of Ephesians, and in John's, the Apostle John's book, Revelation. You have to go to John's book of Revelation, Paul's epistles of Ephesians, right, and Hebrews, and include Colossians chapters 1 and 2. Then, you got clear. These are the things above. So I'll just briefly mention these. There are about 6 or 7 or so from the other epistles of Paul and John's work. A, it says what? The glorified and enthroned Jesus. Hallelujah. Right? When he ascended, he was what? He was glorified. Wow. As a man, he was brought into the divine glory. His human part was fully swallowed up by divinity, becoming the firstborn son, right? Because that was his resurrection. Then he brought that person, that his being, all the way into the third heavens, and he was crowned by God with glory, the divine expression, as a man now. He had the divine glory in his divinity, but not in the humanity. The humanity was not divinized until his resurrection. Then he brought that divinized humanity into the divine glory as a man in ascension when God, right, exalted him, right? So he's the glorified and he was enthroned there, right, there in the universe. That's in Hebrews 2:9. It tells us there that he was what? He was crowned. Crown means a full expression. If you were there in the Isaiah training, the brothers open up what it is to be crowned. Crowned with glory, right? The divine expression. And honor, the top honor in the universe as this fully glorified God-man. Okay, B, right? The things above are what? The heavenly high priest, right? He entered into his heavenly ministry. He accomplished redemption in his earthly ministry. Then he entered into his heavenly ministry. And in his ascension, right, he began his heavenly ministry to what? To, as a high priest, interceding for us, praying for us, bringing us to God, bringing God to us. This is part of, this is one of the aspects of Christ in the things above. Okay, then C, the head, concerning the church. He was made, what, in Ephesians, head over all things to the church. His headship, lordship, enthronement, all of that obtainment was what? Being transmitted and transfused to us, the church. His headship over all things. That is one, believe me, of something heavenly, something of the things above. Heavenly, superior to all the earthly things. Okay, another aspect, D, the one executing the divine government. That's a book of Revelation. He's the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the one, saints. Even this morning, he's operating. He's ruling. He's administrating the whole universe from the third heavens, arranging everything to get people saved, brought into the church life, built up in the church life, to bring this age to an end, to bring in the coming kingdom, and to bring in the new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. He's a heavenly administrator. This is our Christ. Wow. This is what he's doing in his heavenly ministry. These are also things above. They are not lowly, earthly, low, mean things. You try to share these things with the people, you know, that you're with, and they say, what? They've never heard of such things. Because they are lofty, they are high, transcendent, and rich. Saying, we need to set our mind on these things. I know we have school, we have studies, we have all of this, yet, we should prioritize, set our mind to consider, muse, ponder, exercise your spirit, pray over this, get into the Word, memorize these things. These are the things above that are too heavenly that we need to focus on, concentrate on, okay? The one executing the divine government, D. Okay, another one. He was made Lord in Christ. Wasn't he always the Lord? That's right, he was always the Lord. Why did he have to be made Lord? Because he didn't have humanity yet. But this is being made Lord in his humanity. The Lord of all things and all peoples to possess everything in his ascension. Part of the things above. And Christ, the anointed one. Wasn't he always Christ? That's right, he was always Christ in his divinity. But this, he was made Christ, the anointed one in his humanity. That is not a small thing. It's one thing you can say, oh, that's easy. Christ was always God, right? He was always Lord. He was always what? The Christ, right? But as a man, that's not a small thing. He had to go through the process to be made Lord in his humanity, to be made Christ in his humanity, in his ascension. That's Acts 2:36. Then, he's a heavenly minister in Hebrews 8. He's a heavenly minister. He's what? He's ministering to us. All that he obtained, all of his riches, he has to find a way to dispense those riches in his ascension into us. It's not just a matter of attaining some accolades, some honors and things. No. Now, he has to find a way to dispense those things into us. To do that, he must wear another hat. You know, we wear a lot of hats. He must wear another hat. So he wears another hat of what? The heavenly minister. And he's ministering all the heavenly things. The heavenly life, the heavenly grace, the heavenly peace, the heavenly riches. Everything heavenly, he's ministering it to Leland Baker. When he exercises his spirit. When he sets his mind on the mingled spirit. All of those are transmitted into Leland Baker. Wow. These are the things above. He's the heavenly minister. What else? He's a forerunner. He entered all the way. He's a pioneer. He cut the way into the divine glory as a man, and he's leading us into glory. One day we will share that glory fully as he. We will be the full sons of God, just like him, right? He's the forerunner. He cut the way into glory. That's Hebrews 6, 19 and 20. Then I added one more verse, Isaiah chapter 6. We saw in the Isaiah training, right? Remember the depressed situation of the nation of Israel. Isaiah was there, about 760 years before Christ. And Israel was a mess. They were chaos, right? Rebellion, idolatry, sinful, fornication. So all of a sudden, if we were in that situation, we would give up. Woe is me. Again, les miserables. But what all of a sudden, Isaiah 6, what did Isaiah see? He saw what? He saw the throne. He saw a man in the glory. Right? You look at Isaiah, right? 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, right, sitting on what? On a low and lonely throne. I saw him, right? What is it? I saw the Lord sitting on a high and lofty throne. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Isaiah got encouraged. Apparently, everything was a mess, but wow. This Christ, he got encouraged, right? This is the Christ we have today. What's today? July 15th, 2010. There is a man in the glory.
Amen.
Okay. Then, Romans 3, right? We're almost out of time here. To seek the things which are above and to set our mind on them is to what? Is to join ourselves to the Lord. We do that by exercising our spirit, by praying, by singing, by prayer reading, by being in the meetings, by being in the trainings, the church life, and all these ways we can exercise practically to what? Set our mind on the things above, right? To the Lord in his heavenly ministry and his divine enterprise. A, living Christ and having a living that is one with Christ living. B, cooperating to intercede with him as a heavenly high priest who lives always to intercede for the churches. C, joining with Christ today, who is living as the heavenly minister to minister and supply the saints with the riches of Christ. D, praying the prayers of authority. We'll touch that tomorrow, right, in ascension. Right, so that Christ, as a universal administrator of God's government, can administrate all things for the accomplishment of God's purpose. What makes these things above so special? Right? What makes them unique among all the things? Because these things transmit Christ in all of these aspects, hats, statuses. When you set your mind on these things, right? When you exercise your spirit, right? Right? What happens? The element of that person, that Christ, is transfused into you. I use transfuse from one thing to another because fuse in Latin means to pour. So you pour across. Transcourse means across. Something is poured across from one thing to another. You have this rich Christ in his heavenly ministry. Those riches have to be transmitted to us somehow. They are transfused into our spirit. That factor of all of that Christ is and has, that element is transfused into you. The things on the earth, there's no factor there. No, there's nothing that gets into you, in a sense, even though the maybe evil things get into you. But the things above have the ability to be transmitted into us, to saturate us, to soak us. So when we live in union with Christ, right, by the peace arbitrating within us, by letting the Word dwell in us richly, right, and by setting our mind on the things above, those elements are transfused into us. And we use the word infuse. That means they're within you. in your spirit already, and they're being infused into your mind, your emotion, your will, as infused. Transfused means they're at a distance, and they come from a distance into you. Infused means they're intrinsically in you already, but they have to be infused further into your inner parts. Of course, we use dispense, transfuse, transmit, infuse, all of these things. That divine element of that person, that status, is wrought into us, eventually causing us to grow, to be transformed, one day transfigured, right? So this is the value of setting our mind on things above. And that's what Paul did with the Colossians. Okay, let's all read the focus together. By learning to set our mind on the things which are above, to join ourselves to the Lord in His heavenly ministry, and live the Christ who dwells within us and is our life. Okay, it's your turn.